Hello and welcome to the Multipod. This is the podcast where we talk about multipotentiality and our multipotentialites ourselves and explore what it's like to be a multipotentialite. And I'm here with Jillian.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I do apologize for my raspy voice. I am sick right now and I feel like the last time that I hosted an episode, I was also sick, so I don't know what's happening there. But that's okay. So today, we are going to be talking about relationships, which is a topic that I've wanted to cover for a while now. And it just so happened that I saw a post by one of our putty peep, Michelle, who talked about doing some sort of a workshop all about relationships. And so I wanted to talk to her about that. And I've invited her to be our guest today. And she is here. So hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Yeah. So I think it was like a month ago, you posted in our Putty Tribe forum that you wanted to do a putty workshop. And for those of you who don't know, people who are in the Putty Tribe can sort of like, I guess like apply to run workshops and help various people, whoever wants to join on the Putty Tribe with whatever the subject is. So that's pretty cool. And Michelle, you said, hey, I have this topic that I want to do a workshop about, which is having the relationship of your dreams. And it turns out that you are a coach, basically in relationships. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I actually had applied to do the workshop before posting that on the forum.
Okay.
So I was already kind of in the process and I just wanted to touch base with the tribe and see, you know, if people were into it, what they would want to hear from it, that sort of thing.
Awesome. And what you told me about yourself is that you spent roughly the past decade working in the world of academic and professional development, and now you've transitioned into, well, work that you find more meaningful is how you put it. And you are sort of the go-to coach for love and relationships. So I feel like you're the perfect person to have on to talk about this.
So, thanks.
Yay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your background. I know you told me that you, have done cognitive training and leadership development.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, it's funny because earlier in my career, I would have said that cognitive training and leadership development were more personal to me and meaningful to me. And now I've just transitioned into this new phase. So early on, I got interested in cognitive training because I was myself actually diagnosed with ADD pretty late in life in college. And I got this job at a brain training center. And I was actually able to wean myself off of ADD medication through that training.
Cool.
So that was really cool. And then I moved into leadership development and, you know, I spent a while there actually, about 5 years. And, you know, it's just really inspiring to see people following their passions and, you know, taking on their goals in a real tangible way. That does still speak to me, but I just had this huge breakthrough for myself. You know, it's kind of natural for someone in that field to just be doing personal work as well. So I had this huge breakthrough for myself when it came to relationships, and then I just couldn't stop sharing about it. And then people knew I was a coach in general, and so they just started coming to me about that. And then it kind of just turned into a business organically. Because I was like, man, I got to start charging for this. and it was just so fun to be able to empower people in that space, you know, to like have people really take it on and just create things that they didn't think were possible in their life, love life.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing stories of things sort of organically coming together like that. And sometimes I'm like, you know, I have my own business and I'm like, I want it to come organically together too. But sometimes it feels like it's more of a me trying to force things to happen. But anyway, it's all good. So I was really interested in this topic because my partner or my spouse is somebody who has a lot of different interests, but wouldn't necessarily call themselves a multi-potentialite. Whereas I'm like, that is me. I am all over the place. I have so many different interests. I do all these different things. Just the term multi-potentialite really works for me. And so I've been thinking about like, how can that show up in relationships if you are a multi-potentialite and your partner isn't? And I actually also think this can be extended to friendships, like not just romantic relationships. But that's what I first started thinking about, was romantic relationships. And so I just kind of want to chat about like how multi-potentialites and non-multi-potentialites can have fulfilling relationships, what we need to think about when we're engaging with each other. And then Jillian also was like, well, I'm not in a relationship right now, but I can speak to not being in a relationship and being a multi-potentialite. And so I also would love to chat about, you know, dating and that kind of thing as well. So I guess I could start by asking, like, have you seen people who would fall into the multi-potentialite category and then have them date, or like that they're in relationships with other people who maybe don't? Have you seen that?
Yeah. Definitely. I have one client who she does a lot of things. She's got like a full-time gig, a side hustle that's really picking up speed. She's involved in a lot of, you know, she's a multi-potentialite. And, you know, the person she's dating newly kind of just does one thing. And so it's been an interesting journey for her, and I think for a lot of people, to just share about all the things they do and like, how do you, right? Because when you're in a relationship, you want to be able to be vulnerable with that person, to connect with them. And when you feel like you have so many different compartments of your life, it's almost like second nature to compartmentalize that as well. Like your relationship is separate from every other kind of person you are. So it takes a level of courage and just kind of practice to be able to be your same self in all of the different aspects of your life. And so just sharing about like, oh, this is another thing I do, this is another thing I do, and like feeling whether, you know, we talk about whether you feel comfortable having that person that you're seeing actually enter into those other aspects of your life. Like, are they going to gel with those other things that you do? Because that can definitely be a concern for people, like, you know, I'm so multifaceted. Are they going to get me in every way?
Right. Interesting. Do you have an example of how somebody can show up in the different facets, like what those different facets might be and how that person could show up in them?
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, if you have a day job, you might show up one way to the team there, your boss, things like that. And then if you have a side business or a hobby, right, you might show up differently. You know, this is totally random. Like if your hobby is hula hooping or something like that, you know, maybe it's like some really hippy dippy hobby that you really love and you get like weird with it. And then you work at a school, right? And then you're a little more buttoned up and like, you don't really show your hula hooping self to your school staff. And I think it's cool because as multi-potentialites, we like to try on those different hats and wear those different kind of costumes, and not costumes, but just, you know, aspects. And I think there is a pitfall possible where you could then say, okay, this is now my relationship hat, and this is the way I am with the relationship, instead of sharing all of those facets with that one person.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Thinking about my own relationship, not that I'm going to like make this into a therapy session, but I think about how it's like sometimes it seems like I can show up in all those different ways kind of simultaneously with my partner, because my partner knows me really, really well, knows the different parts of me, knows the different facets, knows the different interests that I have and that kind of thing, and is generally really supportive of them. And then, so I feel like that is something that works well for us most of the time. And then other times it's kind of like, well, you don't seem to really understand that I have all these different things going on, because I'm also one of those people that kind of is putting a few things together for a career, at least right now. And I realize that multipotentiality doesn't have to always do with your career and your work, but I'm just sort of like navigating that right now. And my partner gets kind of freaked out about it because my partner is the one who has the one thing, like you just said, and is, you know, on the road to getting a pension and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to think about how maybe that can be a bit of a pitfall of like, oh, I have all these different things going on. How do you navigate that, right?
Yeah, and I think it's actually something kind of ties back to something Emily spoke to in the book, the How to Be Everything book, mm-hmm. about feeling comfortable just talking about being a multi-potentialite, right? And like, there's something to be said about compatibility and what that means for you. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, compatibility could mean operating in the same way, that you're both multi-potentialites or you're both specialists, or it could mean having the same types of interests, or it could mean having the same type of communication. It could mean anything, right? And so that's the work that I really dig into, is creating that for yourself and being clear about it, and then being able to communicate it, which is, I think, similar to the work that we do as multi-potentialites in our careers, like being able to articulate, I do four things, or like, this is the one thing, right?
Yeah.
So
that's super interesting too. I hadn't really thought about the fact that you could be a multi-potentialite, your partner may not be one, but then you might have these other ways that really, I mean, obviously you have ways that match up, otherwise you wouldn't be partners. But like you're saying, oh, well, just because you don't have the same hobbies all the time, you do have these different things that tie you together, such as your communication styles, or such as the one thing that you really share deeply in terms of a hobby or something like that. Like, yeah. So
yeah.
It's like always... Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You just made me think of something that I talk about a lot, is the prioritization, really, of which sounds like a little, I don't know, like not romantic.
Like something is taking precedence over something else.
Yeah, like it's not like something you think about, like priorities when you're first dating and you're in like the honeymoon phase. Like it's not really like, let's check out our priorities, right? But I think it's really powerful to know what those are for yourself and what those are for your partner. Mm-hmm. Because there are always going to be things that don't match up, and there are always going to be miscommunications and like hiccups, and you know, life happens. Whether it's you're a multi-potentialite and I'm not, and so how are we going to deal with that? Or you like to leave the dishes in the sink for a day and I don't, right? Whatever it is. I just think as multi-potentialites, we could definitely be a little, have a wider scope of those possible, you know, just miscommunications, because our brains function a different way.
Mm-hmm. Like they're kind of potentially focused on more than one thing so much that could come across as scatterbrained. I think my partner sometimes thinks I'm scatterbrained. Jillian, do you have anything? I don't want to keep you out of the conversation. If you have anything to jump in with, please do.
No, I was just looking at the blog post on the Putty Tribe, and a lady named Aja was saying, you know, reiterating what you were saying, fracturing parts of myself to be seen the right way or as expected in different situations and with different people. We create our own rules when it comes to relationships, good or bad. Don't have to adhere to a traditional ideas of what a successful relationship looks like.
Yeah, I found her reply to your post, Michelle, about doing this workshop really interesting, because she listed like really clearly what she would look for in a relationship. And I was like, yeah, those make sense to me too.
Yeah.
What do you think about what she's saying there?
I think she nailed it. You know, this whole idea about not having to adhere to what's like the traditional value of a relationship, good or bad. I actually often pull from, I don't know if you guys remember, I'm like geeking out Putty right here.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, like when Emily asked, like, who remembers, like, when they ask you what you want to be when you grow up, right? So one thing that I always really love about that, and it struck me, like, did they ask you what kind of relationship you wanted when you grew up? Did they ask you what kind of partner you wanted to be?
Probably not.
Absolutely
nobody,
not.
Nobody asked yeah. me that.
No. And so we just learned. Yeah. We just learned from what we saw. And, you know, this is a lot what we're going to talk about in the workshop. It's like looking at where do we learn it and what do we think is the norm or what is our expected role? And, you know, we just live into that and there's nothing wrong. But that's just kind of how it gets created unless you actively say, no, I'm going to take a look at what's important to me personally and then go after that.
That makes me wonder. I've been thinking a little bit about when you are in a relationship, especially when you're married and you've made this commitment to somebody for probably the rest of your lives. How do you honor those parts of yourself that want to do things separately from your partner and not have it be like a huge deal? You know, you just yeah. mentioned that and it made me think of it.
So say more about that. When you say honor those things that you want to do separately and not have it be a huge deal, is it the way that you, it, what's the huge deal about it? Do you have trouble communicating that or?
No, I just wonder sort of, it's more of a theoretical question actually, but like if you are like, you know, I really have these things that I'm doing in my life or these parts of me that I really need to explore that are going to be potentially separate from my partner that my partner might not want to engage in. Mm-hmm. How do I do that without, how do I do that while still respecting what I have with my partner and keeping that really important as well, which is, I'm talking about this and I'm like, this sounds like polyamory, which I don't do, but it sounds like it's almost like a polyamorous way of like living your life, but not actually polyamorous, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So nothing wrong with polyamory.
No, not at all.
And, yeah. you know, I totally respect it. And it takes a lot of work. Right? And communication. Yeah. So that's exactly the same thing with hobbies or whatever it is that you want to do separate from your partner, whether it's other partners or hobbies, right?
I was just saying that it sounded kind of like a polyamory thing, which I used to have relationships like that, but I don't anymore. And that's fine. And then, yeah, no, I'm not saying anything negative about it at all.
yeah. But so you may know that it takes another level of responsibility, another level of communication.
Totally.
So it's like, you know what there is to honor in your relationship. Right? You have those priorities, those compatible components that your relationship is built on. So there's always circling back to that and that you have that common ground with your partner that you're building on that strong foundation mm-hmm. so that it's like, that's what's important. So regardless of what comes up or what might be uncomfortable for me to talk about, if you're both coming from that foundation and that shared goal of the experience you created, then, you know, it's like you don't sweat the small stuff. It might get uncomfortable, but if you're both on the same team, anything yeah. can be worked out in conversation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
And like just saying that you're scared to talk about it or that you don't like that you're worried to talk about it. It's like there's something of that. It seems obvious from the outside, but people don't always see, like, if you just lift the hood and like show your partner, like, I don't want to talk about this. And
I don't want to talk about this. And we're going to talk about this.
Or, and yeah. this is what I have to say. This is yeah. This is how I feel. This is my experience.
Yeah.
And you know, it creates that vulnerability for them to say, I don't want to either. And then you're again on the same team.
Right. And actually that could even like open up some conversations like, we don't want to talk about this, but we have to. So how are we going to do it? Like, we're a team. We just have to do it. Totally. And that could go for any conversation, I feel like. You're talking there about communication, which is like huge in any kind of relationship, whether it's like with your mom or with your partner or with your friend or with your cat. No, I don't know. But I communicate with
cats. Communicate. They do.
Yes, they really yes. do. But like, in your opinion, as you know, a pro, what do you think are like just a few of those really important key things to think about when you're communicating this kind of stuff? Like, what are your tips for good communication?
So being on the same team can sometimes mean taking turns. So a huge tip for listening is to listen to one person all the way first without reacting or responding or giving an assessment or your experience or anything. Just like have one person be totally heard first. And that takes practice, but it creates a very strong trust.
So key thing, listening.
Yeah. Active listening, like, and not just listening, like I'm quiet, so you know that I'm listening.
Yeah.
Listening where you actually give back their experience and check with them. Did I listen correctly? Do I understand this correctly? And you want to just keep going. And this is something, one of the trainings I've done, it's called Listen First. And it's kind of like, listen until their cup is empty, until all they have to say is yes.
Interesting. Never heard that before. Huh. I actually think that this can really be applied to friendships as well, because I've noticed that I'm not saying that I'm perfect at all, but I've been trying to listen more than talk when I'm having a conversation with friends. Like interviewing somebody on a podcast, a little bit different, but talking to a friend, you know, I'm trying to like sort of take in what they're saying and just be that active, good listener instead of feeling like I have to one up them or feeling like I have to be like, oh, but this was my experience. Let me explain it to you or share it with you. And so I think that, obviously that is like so important for when you're dating somebody, but it's also like equally important when you have relationships with other people too. So, yeah.
You know, the conversations that we have about relationships, you know, we're talking about romantic, intimate relationships, but they definitely apply in every relationship in your life. Yeah. I mean, this is the most intimate, vulnerable, you know, outside of your family that you grew up with, but, or friends that you grew up with, but it's all communication. It all works the same way. So actually I've seen a lot of clients, once they kind of build that muscle in the dating area, you see it show up in friendships. You see it show up at work.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Jillian, do you have any thoughts or any things you want to jump in with?
Well, this oddly ties into a blog post that I'm trying to put together.
Cool.
For an interview that I did with Annette Starnharte, which is a fellow Multipod as well. And we've been reviewing this book called The Joy of Business by Simone Molasses. And in chapter 2, it's all like the whole book is about asking questions and opening up the possibilities of things, not only about your business, but all about your life as well, in every facet of your life. But she asked a question and it just was so profound to me. It said, what are you willing to receive? And I know that we're going to be talking about being single, and I think this can apply to a lot of people who are single, and the fact that we are, you know, if you've been single for a long time, you tend to get in your own groove. Yes. And do your own thing. And sometimes you end up getting stuck. And this one question really opened up a lot of possibilities for me of meeting somebody, because we don't know how to receive. We're not taught to receive.
Right.
All we're taught from day one is give, give, give. Give and unto others and make sure everybody is taken care of. And half the time, our cup is dry.
That's also very gendered thing, I have to say. Like, you know, those of us who were raised as girls and women, like that is something that you're right. Absolutely. That's what we're taught to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not listen to what we need. Yeah.
Exactly. So since reviewing this one chapter, it's just really opened up my eyes to a lot of things, and just like the little things from people. I mean, I'm not interested in this particular guy at work, but we worked well together one afternoon. We were talking about music and movies, and I thought to myself, this is about receiving. I received a really good energy from him, and we had a good afternoon, and we worked well together, and I actually thanked him for it. So the point is like when you're single, and especially when Aja Marsh was like that whole she really, really nailed it for single people. And I just thought if everybody learned how to receive, we may not feel as alone, because we all feel alone sometimes when we're single. And just open up the possibilities of meeting somebody anytime, anywhere, by appreciating those little things that you receive, like a really good conversation with somebody at a dollar store, or, you know what I mean? Just all that kind of thing. It just opens you up. And I think it just, men want a woman who can receive. And I think by appreciating all those little moments in friendships and whatever, dating, whatever you're getting from people, that it opens you up. And it takes a lot of guts to do that, because you're exposing yourself. You're vulnerable to that. But it's quite grounding, actually, once you get the hang of it. I don't know. It may sound sort of ethereal. I don't know, but it just made a lot of sense to me. What are you willing to receive? And you have to learn how to receive the good and the bad as well, you know, and it's all how you react to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people say that they, you know, like when you try to find a partner, when you're trying to date, you know, nothing works out. But then when you sort of accept that you are good on your own, and that you're, and this could go even as cheesily and as deeply to say, like, that you love yourself, that's when things start coming to you. And that's when people who, you know, potential mates start coming to you. It's kind of feels like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Jillian, thanks for that insight. That's definitely something to look at and something to think about. And since we're sort of on the topic of talking about, you know, being single, I suppose, I wonder, when you're out there dating and you're meeting people and you're kind of like trying to find somebody to, I guess, be in a relationship with ultimately, as a multi-potentialite, like, how do you navigate that? Like, I'm thinking about when I've gone on dates in the past and been like, well, I'm into this thing and I'm into that thing and I'm into this thing and I do this thing. And it just seems like it's so overwhelming. Like, hopefully I'm not overwhelming the person, you know, and like just thinking back on dates that I've had, I'm like, oh goodness. Like, you know, what do these people think about me? So I wonder, when you're in that situation, like, what's the best thing to do? Do you have any ideas, Michelle or Jillian, either one?
Well, I concur with you. I'm overwhelming to them.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Ugh.
Yeah. So I would love to actually put a pin in that and kind of backtrack to what Jillian was talking about a minute ago.
Okay.
Just for a sec.
Yeah, totally.
You know, being in the receiving mode is definitely a new concept for a lot of us, right? And one of the ways that we look at getting in that mode is connecting to your joy and your creativity and your passions. And as multi-potentialites, we have a plethora, right? No lack of those. So really looking at all of those different realms of joy and interest and passion, and actually mapping them onto whatever kind of relationship you want to create. So whatever your hobby is, right? Like, how would you share that with your future partner? You know, I had one client who is a singer. She created a playlist of tribute songs that she would and will sing to her partner once they meet. I have one client that's a poet, and she, you know, wrote a poem before meeting the person she's seeing and ended up sharing it with him. For myself, it's I really connect to transactional writing. So I actually wrote a letter called Dear Wife, And it was just, it was acknowledging her for the person she is for me and who we are for each other, our families, our community. And then, you know, a couple months into dating my wife, I was like, oh, this is, I reread the letter. I was like, this is her. I gave it to her. So
nice.
Yeah. And actually, just to top that little share off, I checked my vows against that letter. It was almost verbatim.
So that's
pretty
awesome.
Clear.
I love that.
Yeah. So the clarity, I think, is the most important thing, and just allowing ourselves to dabble and play in what would I want? What would it be like? What would we share? What would, you know, even if we don't like the same things, how would I want to share about this with them? You know, even if they don't like to go and watch, you know, black and white movies, you still want to share with them what's important to you and how would you do that? So I think playing.
Sorry. Yeah. I just want to say, I love that idea. Cause like, you know, it's almost like you're putting things down into writing to like manifest those things into your life, which you people listening may not believe in at all. But even if you don't believe in that, it's like a really cool way to, like you said, have that clarity for yourself. And then when you're out there trying to find a person, or a few people, then you sort of have those like almost like guidelines for yourself and,
yeah, you'll
and things
know what
to look
it feels
for.
Like.
Yeah. That's cool. Sorry.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
You were going to say something else, Michelle, and I interrupted you, and I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, that's pretty much it. It's like, I think it's important to feel into what it would be like to receive. And even like I said earlier, no one's asked you what you would want to receive. So just taking the time to ask yourself, what would it look like? What would it feel like?
You know,
just how would it be? And then just giving yourself the space to play there, you know, then you get a little curious. You're like, oh, is it, how are we going to meet? Is it, are they going to like this thing? Or are they going to like that thing? Is it going to be totally random and they're just going to enjoy all my hobbies and not share any of them? Like, you know what I mean? It could just be that they only read the news and that's their hobby. And
yeah.
For them, you're their entertainment because you love all these wild, interesting things.
Oh my goodness. I love looking at it that way too. Like right? I think my partner gets a little bit of entertainment out of me being like kind of bouncing around from thing to thing. And that's just how I've always been like my whole life. And I think my partner is just kind of like, I think my partner loves that about me, which is kind of nice. So that's cool.
Yeah. And then, another thing about receiving is like, there's a level to which you want to receive when you're dating someone, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the level when you are committed to someone for a lifelong partnership. So they might look different. And I think it's important to acknowledge for yourself, what are you creating? Do you want to create fun and dating and lightness and like a fling, and nothing's wrong with that? You can create 15 flings back to back and that's great.
Yeah.
Or if you want to create a lifelong partnership, then what does that kind of receiving look like, right?
I actually, when I was doing polyamory, when I was sort of practicing that, my therapist at the time talked about how she never said polyamory was wrong or anything like that. But she did point out that if you are doing something like polyamory, you aren't necessarily going to get all those deeper levels of relationship with those people because you just don't have the time for it. Somehow this is reminding me of our conversation right now, like that, no matter how much you're doing, there's only 24 hours in a day. And so, how are you going to meaningfully, is that a word? I don't know. Share that with the people that you're with. Right. It's, and so you're saying like, it could be very different if you're just dating somebody, like that's a totally different quote unquote commitment than it is to, quote unquote, commit to a person that you've committed to. Sorry, this is not, I'm not saying this very well, but I think you know what I mean. I think maybe.
Yes. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Is the most important thing, I think. Like, we've got this like quote unquote societal idea of what it looks like to date and what it looks like to be married and like lifelong partners. But really it just depends on the person. I mean, who knows? You could have a fling / accountability partner. Maybe you guys help each other crush a quarter long goal and then go your separate ways.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it can look like whatever you want.
A fling accountability partner. I like that. Yeah, that's awesome. I think sort of what I'm getting is that obviously we're talking about romantic relationships for the most part, but like these things can be applied to so many other types of relationships. And, you know, like prioritizing, not in the way of like you take priority over this thing or this thing takes priority over you, but just sort of recognizing, I guess, like how much time goes into each thing and how you can share that thing and with your partner, with your friends, whatever. And communication is super key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are a few things that I'm getting out of this conversation.
Yeah. And I think when we talk about prioritizing, it's like, what's important to you in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And not just time-wise, but like, I guess structure-wise and like, to be dorky about it, like process wise, like, you know, how you communicate, how you're going to handle things and, you know, what's okay for you. And then the flip side of that, what I mentioned earlier, the fling accountability partner,
yeah,
right? Maybe you want a lifelong playmate that's going to keep you goofing off forever. Like, you know,
yeah.
I just want to bring that full circle. Like it really can look like anything. And
yeah,
like you said, it's just about having the commitment to communicate and be vulnerable.
Yeah, totally. So is this workshop that you're hoping to do on the Putty Tribe going ahead?
Yes, it
Yay.
Is.
Yay. When is it happening?
It will be in June.
Okay.
I can double check the date. I just have to look it up.
So any listeners who are interested, if you're in the Putty Tribe, definitely keep an eye out for that. And if you are not in the Putty Tribe, definitely consider being part of the Putty Tribe because, you know, it's awesome. Yeah, I don't think I have any other burning questions right now. How about you, Jillian?
No, but I'd like to put a link to on my website through the blog post that I'm doing to help you promote your workshop on multipodmotivator.com. Yeah.
Great.
Thank awesome. You.
And I know Michelle, that you're on Instagram, right, with your coaching business.
Yes.
And maybe other places too. How can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's my first and last name, Michelle Zaylar, Zaylar. Funny little note about that. My wife and I combined our last names.
Cool.
Yeah. So again, any way you want. It can look any way you want.
Right.
And I'm also starting a YouTube channel. So in the next couple weeks, you'll start getting weekly videos from me about this topic, relationships and communication.
Nice.
And I've also got a website, just michellezaylar.com.
That's awesome. Yes. Side note, my partner and I talked about putting our names together and decided not to, and I just took my partner's name, but that's fine.
Oh, but it's so funny.
I'm excited to like meet somebody who's like actually done that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's the first three of mine and the last three of hers, and we confused clerks all around New York City for like 3 months.
I love it. That's super awesome. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for chatting about this, and listeners, thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
All right, we've got two Putty Peep profiles for you this week, starting with Mary Gabriola. Some people say Gabriola, and I know it well. It's we're talking about Gabriola Island, which is just off the coast of Vancouver Island in British Columbia here in Canada. She is a fellow Canadian. Mary is currently into playing the fiddle or the barin. That is the Irish drum you may be familiar with. It's a big round drum, and you use kind of a paddle and you flick your wrist back and forth to play the drum. It's very distinct. So she's learning how to do that. Also paddle boarding and helping lead the Yes You May event, which is has been taking place this month here in the Putty Tribe. On the theme of you have permission to do things, you have the chance to start new projects. We've chatted about that a little bit here on the show, and Mary is one of the organizers and motivators behind the scenes, and certainly very much in front of things as well on the forum, helping people get themselves organized and make the most of this month. Now, aside from Gabriola, she has lived in Saskatchewan and also Ontario, France, and South Korea. But it sounds like she's back in British Columbia these days. She also has another interesting project on the go where she lives. She is very much involved with the elder care community building. And Canada is certainly one of those countries and demographics where, you know, people are aging, and to see more and more support for people as they grow into their senior years is great to see, especially the emphasis on community. And Gabriola is one of those places where it's a pretty close-knit community. It's a fairly small island, and, you know, it's relatively close to major cities and centers and so on. But once you're there on the island, especially to stay, it's an easy place to get to know everybody and to foster that kind of community. So I certainly get the sense from Mary that that's right up her alley, and she would fit right in a place like that. So great to have her as part of the tribe. She's actually been a member for almost a couple of years, going back to August of 2017. So it's great to see her front and center, active here in the community, and highlighted as our first Putty P profile for this week. And secondly, we have Frederick Alexander, who hails from Nuremberg in Germany. Frederick is currently into web development skills, baseball, and all things music related. And Frederick is one of our many active and passionate travelers here in the Putty tribe. He says that he loves traveling in almost any form. He's been all over southern Germany in a car and a tent, traveling through Europe for half a year. So it's kind of, I imagine it's kind of his default thing to do is hop in a car kind of thing and go see some new place. But of course, like all of us, he has lots of things on the go. A musician, as we said, he says he plays mostly rock, but enjoys listening to lots of different kinds of music. But he's also a scientist with a degree in geology. He has an interest in almost any scientific subject. He's an amateur baseball player, which is kind of cool coming from Germany, but goes to show it is an international sport after all. He's someone who likes building stuff. He's someone who's accumulated a range of design and publishing related skills. So he says things like vector graphic editing to typesetting to music engraving. And now he's rounding out his skills, as he says, by participating in a web development training program. So, wow, Frederick's got lots in the go. Joined the tribe back in February of this year, 2019. Oh, and I just noticed this. Not only is he a guitarist, he likes to build guitars. Well, that certainly seems to be right up his alley, along with woodworking and gardening. So you can tell he's a manual kind of guy. He loves doing things with his hands, building things. And now I don't see any website, blog, or profile, social profile otherwise for Frederick. So you'll have to look him up here on the Putty Tribe forum in his profile, for sure, if you want to send him a message. I do have something for Mary, at least. You can go to her Twitter account. It's simply Mary Gabriola, and that's spelled G-A-B-R-I-O-L-A. Mary Gabriola, all one word, and that's her Twitter account. You can find her there and also on LinkedIn. So that's Mary and that's Frederick, and they are our Putty Peep profiles for this episode. So big thanks to Vanessa for spearheading this episode. I know it's been something on her list for a while to explore this topic and put a great episode together, and she really did. It was really well done, and especially hearing what Michelle had to say as well. So thanks for all the time and the work that they put into putting this episode together for you, and I'm really glad it worked out. We certainly love to hear your feedback on what you think about the things that they discussed. The best way, certainly, we can start building. We'd like to do this. We'd like to start building some more comments and feedback on some of our episodes as best as we can. And hey, we're lucky that we have our forum, of course, to do that. You don't have to go to a separate website or, you know, dig down to find the comments section or anything like that. We post every episode on the forum, of course, and you can just comment underneath and tell us what you thought. We'll often, one of us, maybe Sarah or someone else, will try to kickstart the conversation a bit and throw out a couple questions, but be a fun way to kind of build off some of the fun and interesting conversations that we have here on the Multipod. So I'd love to do that for this episode. Stay tuned and visit the forum and keep an eye on this episode. Let's try to keep the conversation going. Aside from that, well, of course, we'll have another episode coming up for you in a couple weeks where we will be talking to Joel, who we haven't had on the show actually for quite a while. We're definitely looking forward to that. And of course, probably I think it's fair to say, the biggest event coming up this year in the Putty Tribe is the first Multipotentialite Conference, the Everything Conference, in September out in Portland, Oregon. And of course, Joel is one of the key organizers for that. So he's going to tell us a little bit more about the details of it and what they've put together, and also some of the thinking behind what brought them to organizing a conference and deciding where to have it and the kind of format that it would be, some of that background info as well and the thinking that went into it, which, as we discuss, will hopefully not be the only one. I mean, it's a big event, it's a big undertaking, but it'd be great to see it foster similar events, whether other conferences or other meetups. And I've noticed a few things starting to pop up, especially in Europe. I think in Amsterdam I saw there's a meetup coming up. There's often things from time to time in London, in England. So stuff like that is great to see. And the conference certainly will help to foster some of that in-person communication and connections, you know, that would be a great, great thing to build here in the Putty Tribe. So we're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks here with Joel. And in the meantime, spring is finally starting to bloom here in Canada. The weather's slowly warming up, but we're we're enjoying it at last. It was a long winter, and now we're looking forward to summer. And we're going to keep going with some new topics for you and some more guests. If you're interested in coming on the show, as always, you can send any of us a message, myself, Vanessa, Sarah, anyone you like. Let us know if you'd like to be on the show, suggest an idea, suggest a topic of discussion, and we'll take it, we'll run with it, and put together something interesting for everybody. So definitely feel free to let us know. You can leave a message on the forum, or of course send us an email at themultipodcast@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you there or on the forum. Either way, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.